Hello, welcome to another top-tier phenomenal episode of Widowed Too Soon. I am your host, Mark Massaro. I'm here with my friend and co-host, Michelle Bader Ebersole. What is going on in Michelle Land?
Wait, how is this a top tier? Like why is this one a top tier?
Because I claimed it and as that, and so it shall be. No, I'm practicing my humility for 2024. I'm sticking to my goals. Good. So we're a top tier, you know, this is another top tier episode.
It is. It's another top tier episode. I'm good. It's another snow day. I saw you guys have snow
here
too.
Right?
Didn't I see some?
Yep. Yeah. School keeps getting canceled.
Yep. That's where we're at too. I mean, all week. I mean, well, the MLK day was, you know, no school. And then yesterday. And then last night there was like an ice storm. And
so
roads were like horrible. And they were going to be 2 hours late. And then they canceled it. And yeah, it's been a lot. And last Friday, and I think Thursday, there's just been a lot.
yeah, here too. It's actually pretty cool. I like it. I know you're used to it, but I'm not. From Southern California, this is like, it's snowing. Alexis keeps getting.
Much.
Oh, you don't where you're at? Oh,
no.
I thought you get a. So, okay,
year,
so it's just
maybe.
Where you're at.
Yeah.
Because Washington's generally known for getting a lot of snow, right?
I'd say Eastern Washington, not like Seattle or where I'm at near Portland. But
okay.
What were you saying? Alexis keeps getting.
Oh, Alexis keeps getting quote unquote suited and booted to go outside and play in the snow.
That's
yeah,
so
it's pretty
cute.
Rad. So she gets all geared up. She looks like the little kid from
Christmas
what was that?
Story.
A Christmas Story. Yeah,
Ralphie. No, Ralphie's
your
brother.
Ralphie. Oh, yeah. Ralphie's brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
That's
so she's
cute.
Like all, you know, like walking around and we were playing outside in the snow a bit. And so, yeah,
so they're
it's
home today,
new.
Too.
They're home today. I just got a text. So Michelle and I were actually just a guest on somebody else's podcast. In the middle of that episode, I got a text that the schools are closed again tomorrow. So that was why I had to pause in the middle of our podcast to call my work and say, sorry. So
can't come in.
I won't get into the financial specifics, but if I pay a babysitter to watch my kids and, you know, for 10-hour day and we are dead at work because I get I get paid hourly plus commission. And so I'm just getting hourly if there's no cars. So for me, I'll just say it's not worth it at all for me to go to work on those days. But also like, you know, I can't, cause my friend who watches my kids, their kids are also home from school and they have four kids. So it's kind of crazy to be like, hey, can you watch my kids for 10
more?
Hours a day and your kids? So, anyway, it's just like, I can't do it. Plus
you stay home for work. Yeah.
I've been staying home from work, and also where they live is a little more, I struggle with this word, rural.
There you go, rural. You got it.
Rural.
Rural.
Than where I live. And so I don't know how it would be. My car's all-wheel drive, but I don't know how it would be. You know, I'm not used to driving in the snow. I just have to admit it. Like, I'm just not used to driving in the snow. So I know to take it real slow. I know how to handle my car if it skids, but it's, you know, I don't know how to look for ice on the road and stuff like that, you know? And so anyways, I'm just I don't know. I don't know if this is like dumb for me to go drive down these back roads to like get to his house and then we drive into a ditch or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because I'm trying to get to work to stand around all day. So anyways, so yes, snow days, but it is beautiful looking out the window. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so pretty. It's so quiet. Like they're just, you know, I know a lot of people are from states where they get real, real snow.
Yeah,
you
they're
know,
like, what
up,
are you guys
northeast,
talking about?
Northeast, things like that. You know, Wisconsin people, New York, blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, you can have the snow or whatever, you know. But I'm like, no, we get like, you know, 2 days a year. And so we enjoy it when it's going on. So anyway, so what's been up with you besides the snow?
Besides the snow. So I'll talk about my... like health stuff. So I'm still waiting on the MRI scans.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think it's the snow is, cause I think a lot of the medical buildings have been closed too. Might be delaying it, but I know this could be done from home. So like, I know that they have been released to the doctors, but the radiologists have not made their notes.
Done their reports. Yeah.
Yeah. So last week, so some good news. So first the bad news, I still have ringing in my ear, but the good news is I went to the audiologist last Thursday and they were like, you don't even have hearing loss at all. I'm like, what? They told me to take these steroids and do all this stuff. Well, they're like, officially, so anything above minus 30 decibels is no hearing loss. So I have like a teeny tiny bit, 10 to 15 in my left ear is lower than my right, but it's still all above the line. So they're like, we don't really consider that hearing loss. And I'm like, but they did last time. She's like, yeah, I wouldn't have said that. So I'm like, did I take the steroids?
Is it still ringing?
Yes. Wow. But it's like, I notice it a lot less. It's called habituation, where you just get used to it. So sometimes it's like that, but sometimes it's worse. Like stress makes it worse. There's a bunch of things. And I'm also doing things to help where I'm listening to these sounds constantly. One of them's like crickets, but Joel loves it. He's like, reminds me of Brazil. I love it. Keep playing. So we listen to crickets while we sleep.
That's great.
He's like, I feel like I'm at home. Like the window's open in Brazil. So he likes my cricket sound. That's good.
Awesome.
Some people might find it annoying, but my kids are like, what is that? Like I walk around with the sound, like on my phone, in my pocket around the house. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, it helps my ear.
But you should just throw in like a bullfrog every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have these great, it's called tinnitus masking sounds on YouTube. So anyways, let me get back to the good story. So after the audiologist, I went to the ENT doctor that I've never seen before, and he looked at my ear. Everything looks great. And he wasn't able to see my MRI that day, but the next day he emailed me and said, so we did an MRI of just the ear canal to see if there's a tumor, like a tumor that can, it's non-cancerous, but it can make it so you lose your hearing. So I was really scared of that because I knew that was a possibility. And he said, as everything I can see, it looks good, but we'll wait for the radiologist. But I know he looks at them all the time. So I'm like, okay, at least I can let go of that worry.
I can tell you something I learned about that is that if there isn't much to report, they will kind of put it on the back burner.
Yes, I know.
So it's a good thing that you haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm assuming too, is like I've been through this. I mean, yes, we did have to wait sometimes for Luke's, but you know, I'm just trying to, I freaked out for a couple days. Like I had a lot of fear, like a lot of trauma from all of this. And when I was taking the prednisone, that does not help. I mean, I would just cry over nothing. Joel's like, it's going to be okay. I remember just standing there crying. I'm like, I can't live like this. It was just like intensifies everything. And so the good news, you know, he was like, I don't see anything, you know, and I knew he was just going to say, you learn to live with it, but I'd already done so much research. I'd already been working with this company called Treble Health, and I am not sponsored or endorsed, but they are amazing. I had a consultation call with them, and they help you with tinnitus retraining therapy. Same thing I'm doing, but they actually send you these things you put in your ear. You can barely see them, that you wear all the time. And then you have 6 appointments with an audiologist who helps you also with cognitive behavioral therapy to help you to not be scared about this. Anyways, I'm in the process of, it's very expensive, deciding if we're going to do it or if I can just kind of do it myself like I'm doing right now. But I'm in a much calmer place because now I know it's nothing bad and it's just this annoying ringing. Like right now, I can't hear it like at all. It just depends on the situations. No. I've had enough of that. It's been 3.5 weeks of ringing to my left ear. And I'm also thankful it's not in both ears. I'm trying to look at the good. And then I'm just still waiting on the other MRIs. And, you know, I'm feeling good, though. I'm just praying that it continues to be good. I've been running and working out and, like, just, like, I'm healthy and not letting fear stop me from the joy of today. Actually, Joel said that to me last week when I was crying a lot. And he was like, it's not your health that's ruining things. It's your fear. I'm like, yeah, you're
yes,
right.
Yes, go Joel.
He's like,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
It's like, it's your fear. Like, I'm just so scared. I'm like, I'm so traumatized from Luke because I didn't expect anything bad to happen and it did. So I'm trying to prepare myself so I won't be shocked. He's like, but you're taking the joy from today. Like, let's not worry about it until we know if something bad is wrong.
Yes.
But
he's such a nine.
Like, totally. Yes.
I love like, that. So that's awesome.
Traumatized by my past of scans and this and that and being blindsided because when Luke was diagnosed, you know, I was 24 years old. I had no clue. He was 25, like that anything could ever be bad like this. And so I think I just tend to be like, oh, there's something wrong. You know, when he's like, no, let's just, it's good and tell me no otherwise, you know?
Well, trauma is a real thing and your feelings are valid. Your fears are valid, but Joel's absolutely right that like, what can you do? What does fear do? Like, what does it add to your day, to your life, to be afraid of something that you don't know yet?
in God's words, who by worrying can add even a single day to your life? He showed me that verse many times throughout all of this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And actually, you can do the opposite. You can take days away from your life by worrying.
Yeah. Yeah. It can cause a lot of problems. Anyways, so I don't have anything new to report except for the ear is not anything traumatic. So that's really good. Good news.
Well,
so,
Tina and I are praying for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
We appreciate
I reminded her. And she, I believe she said she had remembered, but I reminded her that it was your MRI and she said she prayed for you and I prayed for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was, I guess I haven't talked about that experience. That was interesting. It wasn't as bad as I thought. I actually took some Xanax. They gave me that just like, I don't take that, but I was like, I need something. This is traumatic for me. And it just helped me relax. And it wasn't that it was super loud. I told them I have tinnitus. Could you get me something? So I had earplugs and everything, but it was not horrible. I just prayed the whole time and just made it about like, you know, just praying. And then Joel and I had a date afterwards and, you know, it was just sweet him being there and taking care of me and all of the stuff. And I'm just, it makes me even more thankful for him. So anyways, I'm trying to think of anything else.
And things are never as bad as we think they're going to be. Right. That's something I try to remember all the time.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, kids are back to school. Well, they were back to school for Christmas, you know, all this stuff, but you know, here we are again. Oh, one more thing I really want to share. We had an awesome college visit for Haley. So she really wanted to live at home because she doesn't like change and all of that, but no schools around here have music education, which is what she wants. So we visited a school about an hour and a half away. It's a Christian college. It's smaller. I think they said like 600. So it's much smaller than regular schools, which she likes small. And they literally had everything, amazing music education programs. She tried out for a choir scholarship. We found out she got it. We just don't know how much. At the end of her audition, and he's like, I'll send you the amount next week. So we know she'll have some kind of scholarship. And they have, she could be on the worship team, ensemble, like all the things she loves. And she's never been open to living in a dorm. But after we toured the dorm, she was like, I think I could see myself going here. And you're allowed to bring an emotional support pet, not a dog. It wouldn't be Bentley, but it would be our cat. So once she found that out, she was very excited. You just have to have a doctor's note. And I'm like, oh, Haley, with your story, we'll get a doctor's note. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
And I really do think it will help her transition because she loves her animals so much. And just having her cat with her at least will help her. So anyways, we're really excited now. We're waiting. That's cool. Finished her application on Sunday. And we are just waiting to hear about the choir scholarship. And then her, I know she'll be accepted. She has really good grades. And then it's just going to be a matter of like when the FAFSA goes through, all the financially, can we make this work? Because it's a very expensive school. But just right off the bat, she gets $16,000 off because of her GPA. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Thank you for working hard in high school.
Yes. So, that's amazing.
That's been exciting. It's called Cordman University. And oh, and they also have theater, so we could come watch her do plays. And, you know, she could come home really easily. I'll probably let her take the car and all of that. So that was a big step in our family, like finding something that she really loves. And I just think dorm life will be so good for her. Like the only problem, when we went to the cafeteria, she's like super picky eater and they didn't have chicken nuggets, which is like her favorite thing to eat. She only ate fries. And I was like, you are going to have to. There was so many good things. Like I had the soup and then there was like salads and like all these things. No, she didn't try. I'm like, you're going to have to learn how to eat other foods.
Yeah, or get an air fryer in your room.
Yes. Actually, we sent Hayden with one home to college because he loves ours so much that he took it in his like carry on back to college. So we got one. Because that is very handy to have. Anyways, enough about like all my. I didn't even ask about you.
That's okay.
I mean, yeah. How's it going for you?
It's going great.
Tina was for a visit last time we were recording.
And that visit was awesome. It was really, really great. We had a good time together, and you know, I made her a really nice dinner one night when I got home from work, and we just have really good time together. It's just so fun hanging out with her, and we just laugh a lot, and I don't know. It's just like, it's like magical. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like magical when we're together. I'm just like the happiest version of myself. And, and we did something super cool. I bought a treadmill so that I could walk in my garage, you know, and, cause it's kind of hard to like go for walks with the kids. Cause Luke has little tiny legs and he like, after like 5 minutes, he's like, I'm tired. So I have a treadmill and Tina and I put that together. We kicked butt as a team together and, totally dominated putting that thing together. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
And so this is something super cool. So when I was at Tina's house last time, when I visited West Virginia, we were staying at these little like cabins, but we would go to her house and hang out during the days or whatever. And I helped her put up blinds in her house. So like on the downstairs, I did three sets of blinds, and we had to custom order the fourth one. Well, it was the biggest one. It was like almost 8 feet long.
Whoa.
And so I was like, I had her, she was like watching me while I installed her other ones or whatever. And I told her, I said, I think you can do that other one when it comes. Because of work, it's hard for me to go visit
Yeah.
her. And so she, the other day, her blind came in all by herself. She drilled all the holes,
Nice.
she screwed everything in, all the brackets, and she hung these 8 foot blinds by
Oh
herself, and
my
they looked
gosh.
perfect. She
That's
put the balance up,
amazing.
she did everything. So we
Good job,
FaceTimed
Tina.
while she was doing it. I hardly had to give her any advice at all. She totally remembered. And I just had this feeling of like, just knowing what she's been through, knowing that her husband used to do all of this. So she
Yeah.
never had to do anything like this,
Right.
and that she just took it on and conquered it and did it and did a good job of it and didn't give up when it got hard. I was just like, I just had this exuding like proud feeling,
Yeah.
proud
That's
of her, like,
amazing.
good job, like that's awesome. Not that I doubted she could do it. I've seen her do other things that made me know she had the skill, but I
Yeah.
knew this would be a little more demanding of like, dedication to it, kind of a
Yeah.
thing. And she totally did it. And even when it got hard, she was like one of the things that was hard was trying to actually hang it
Yeah.
above her head
Oh,
and get
I'm
everything lined
sure.
up and snap it into place, because it's long, and when you have your arms up in the air, like your shoulders get tired. And she like pulled it down for a second, and she was like, gosh, like I think I might need help with this part. But she's like, but I don't want to give up. And I'm just sitting there just listening, because if she wanted to give up, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But she just took like a minute, and then she just lifted her arms back up and went back to it. She's like, I got it. And it like snapped into place.
Nice.
And yeah. So anyways, that's not what I've been up to, but that was just something really cool that I wanted to share, because I was just like so proud of her,
She seems so. My observation from, I mean, I've never met her, but like Facebook and stuff you talk about, she seems like a powerhouse in this cute little package. You know, like
I
she,
would agree with that.
yes, like that she's like, she has like a quiet strength. That's what it
Yes.
seems like. Like she's not one of those out there in your face kind of people.
Not at
You know,
all.
that's strong. She is quite like one of those people that you're just drawn to that like, whoa, like this woman has been through so much and she has so much strength and she's very like for real humble. Like not your joke
Yes,
humble, but
not
like
like me.
she not like you, but like, you know, and that's it's just such a beautiful thing when you know, there's someone like that. And just that's my observation from afar that seems like
That's very, very spot on. She's one of the things that's most attractive to me about her is her modesty, that
yeah, love
she
that.
doesn't think that she doesn't see what I see. I'll just say
Yeah.
that. And
Yeah.
while I like that about her, because it's very attractive to me that she's
Yes.
not like full of herself,
Right.
but I also wish sometimes that she had the confidence that she deserves, because she's awesome,
Yeah.
and I don't know, like I get all like choked up like
Like,
talking
are you
about it,
getting
thinking
oh,
about
that's so
it.
sweet.
She's just such a great woman, and she doesn't see it. She doesn't see what I see. And so I can't even tell you how many times I've been like, gosh, I wish you could just see yourself through my eyes.
Yeah.
You would have all the confidence in the world in yourself if you saw what I see. She's very unique, and she is very, like you said, like there's a quiet strength.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think about what she's been through. She's been through hell, and she has come out the other side. And I just feel like she can do anything. And you know what I
She's like
mean?
Wonder
Like
Woman.
there was one day where she was like, and I think I talked about this on here, but she wanted to like build a fire pit. So her husband made a fire pit in the backyard, but she wanted to do like make like an area around it where there was like wood and then like a rock area and all this stuff. And she talked about it, and then next thing I know, she went to Home Depot. She got all these supplies. She was drilling holes through the woods, staking it
Wow.
down. Like she made it like it looked like perfectly square. She put down the plastic. She poured in all the rocks, like through, put the wheelbarrow, and it just looks amazing. And I'm like, gosh, like, you did that. And so her daughter sent me a picture and she's like, look at my mom go. And she was out there in her, you know, work clothes and had her hat, her like ball hat on. And I was just like, gosh, I love that woman. Like,
so sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. She's so amazing. You described her quite well. So anyways,
yeah. That's actually, it's really beautiful. I'm so happy for you, just seeing your journey from the beginning to where you are. And, you know, you knew from day one that you wanted to be with someone who was widowed, and just to see the beauty of your relationship with Tina and just how God orchestrated all of this, you know, through the podcast. Yeah. And just like, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it a million times, but it still is like, gives me chills to think about how this all came about and just like how God works in these crazy ways, you know. Like, I mean, you have a crazy story. I have a crazy story with Joel reconnecting through Facebook. It's just like, God knows what he's doing. So just another, you know, thing for our listeners to know, like, if you're like, I don't know, I don't, you know, I want to meet someone, I don't know how it's going to happen. God knows. He's got a special, unique plan for you.
And it can come to you out of nowhere when you least expect it, which is exactly what happened for us. It's just like, you know, like, you know, I didn't know why God led me to Tennessee, but I knew he did. And within a month of me being here, I mean, I've shared the story on here that, you know, I just get this message on Messenger. And I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, that's that cute girl that like I know listens to the podcast. And we just started like messaging back and forth, and like she reached out to me, and that's what God told me would happen. Yeah. He's like, stop looking. I'm going to bring her to you. And that's not usual. You know what I mean? Like, that's not normal. Usually guys pursue women. Like, that's like the norm. But I just had felt like for a long time, like way before I met Tina, that God was going to bring her to me. And just the way she came to me was just the way that I felt about her. Maybe it was like my heart was in the right place, you know, with like what I was feeling at that exact moment. But it's just been a beautiful story that only God could have written, and he's still writing it. And it's just such a, it's one of those things that happen to you in life. And I hope this is encouraging to listeners and not like, you know, sound like, you know, like, oh, great, you've moved on and you're not where we are anymore kind of thing. But we understand the pain. But it's just one of those things where it's like, only God could have done this. Only God could have made this happen this way, where I could find like true joy and happiness again. And so anyways, holy moly, I went way off topic. But
no, but I wanted to say one more thing on that. Just seeing the pictures and just what you've said, like, watching her interact with the kids makes my heart so happy too. Just like, it seems like so perfect that God knew that she, you know, no one will ever replace their mom, but they're young, you know, she's going to play that mom role with them. And like,
she's
that
great,
it's just,
at it.
I mean, it just seems like it's just like the perfect fit for their personalities and just like everything. And like, so that's so beautiful to watch too, just to see when you post the pictures when she's visiting and with the kids. And it just is like, oh, I can only imagine how beautiful the four of you are together interacting. And it just makes my heart so happy to see that.
Thank you.
Like, I'm getting all teary eyed just like watching your journey and like these beautiful kids that are amazing, and just that now they have this amazing mother role, you know, it's just, it makes me happy. Anyways,
that's awesome. No, I really appreciate that. It is a tremendous blessing. And, Tina and I were out front playing basketball. We were playing horse.
Cute.
That was awesome. And, so we were out front playing horse, and Alexis came out and she had made her this really pretty card that said, you are you and you are enough, or something like that.
So
like
sweet.
I think that's what it said. And it was all colored in and beautiful. And it was like, I don't know. I was just like, oh, good job, honey. Like, that's awesome. You know,
sweet.
And it really meant a lot to Tina. And she's just so, she's so good with them. And it's just awesome. It's really sweet. And I'm so obviously happy for myself too. To have somebody in that, to see my kids getting that, but I'm so happy for them. Like, cause they just light up like a Christmas tree whenever she comes around, you know? And, like, they totally are like, get out of here, Dad. Like, Tina's here, you know, that's which so I'm happy awesome. For them. Like, I love that. So anyways, yeah. Anyways. So had a great visit. We had some snow, you know, blah, blah, blah. We've had some stuff going on. Nothing too major. So let's get into today's episode. Finally, after 25
minutes of our intro, but you know, hopefully people like hearing our stuff. If they don't, they can, you know, fast forward through it. So
yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Through all the boring stuff. But anyways, so today we were talking about, I don't know if this will end up being what the title is actually, but we're talking about empowering and encouraging the widowed. So Michelle, if we are doing an episode on encouraging and empowering people, what comes to mind for you?
Letting people know that it won't always be as bad as it is in the beginning. Like with the proper steps, that was all I wanted to know. Like I've said it many times, I called all the widows I knew. Is it going to get better? Like I just wanted to know that deep hurt and this place where you just feel like you can't move, like the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like I want all of the listeners to know that it's not going to be like that forever. Like that horrible, you know, the beginning, you're just so overwhelmed. And it feels like, who said this? Was this a podcast? I don't know where I heard this. I literally can't remember at the moment, but somebody said about grief, it's like you're a visitor in your own world. It doesn't even feel
that
like
that was
you're
in that last week.
Okay. That was, yeah. It was,
a foreigner in your own life.
Yes. Thank you. That was last week from our podcast.
That was awesome. I love that.
That was a great, yes. I need to make a clip of that too and share it because that was amazing. I'm like, yeah, that's what it felt like. Like just being in this world that's not even your own and so overwhelmed, feeling like hopeless. Like, what do I have to live for? Like, when is it going to get better? And so that's always the first thing I share when I hear of a new widow and I go visit them or call them or whatever, trying to let them know it's not going to feel like this forever. I know that it's horrible right now. And unfortunately, the only way through grief is to go through it. Like you can't skip this, but it will not be like this forever. So that's the biggest thing I would want new widowers to know. Or widowers in any season, that it's like, it's always changing. Like we're not in this same place. Like there's always hope that it can get better. Always. Like forever, there's always hope that it can get better and you don't have to live in that place. And you can, you know, this is part of my grief recovery training, but like you can actually recover from grief. Like it's actually scientifically proven. Now we'll still have those waves, those days when we still miss our spouse, you know, you'll always have it. Tina will always have it. I'll always have it. You know, the widows will have it. Like we're going to, even if we're madly in love with a new person, you're still going to have those moments when you think about them and you're like, oh man, I miss them.
And you know, sometimes the new love can create grief in ways that were unexpected. And it doesn't always have to be something negative. Grief doesn't always have to be a negative thing, surprisingly. But yeah, sometimes, you know, there's been things that Tina has done that has reminded me of Lacey. And while that causes you grief, at the same time, you're really happy. Is you're like, oh, that's so beautiful. But Lacey, but that's beautiful. But Tina, but Lacey, you know what I mean? And so, so anyways, sorry, go on though.
No, and then I'm just thinking something that the most recent grief I had was last week when we were preparing for Haley's audition. She was just practicing all these songs and she just looked like Luke so much. They have very similar faces. And I just started crying a little bit while she was like practicing. Like, I'm going to get teary-eyed again. Like, Luke would be so proud of her. She's like getting a scholarship for choir and she's growing up and like she wants to be a music teacher. Just all these things because she's doing such a good job in her life right now with everything she's doing. She works so hard at school and everything she does. That it was just this moment that I was like, I wish, and I think maybe God does allow him to see good moments, you know? Like, I want him to know. I guess it's more like, I wish he was sharing this moment with me, you know? Joel is a great supporter, but he's not Haley's dad. So it's never going to be the same as much as he supports us and he cheers her on and he's really great with her. It's not the same as her dad. And so I think it's that grief of like, I wish he was in this moment. And I know it's going to be like that at her graduation and, you know, all the things. So grief still does come, but it's short. Like I don't sit in it. It doesn't, you know, it was a 30 seconds, a minute, I don't know. And it came back right now for a few seconds. Like, it's a feeling I feel, but the grief is not, it's like grief used to be like this wet blanket that just held you down. You just like couldn't move and all that stuff. Now it's not like that at all. Like, it just visits for a second. You know, it's more like a sheet that visits for a second, then it's gone. It's light. It's not as deep. And I just made that up right now. That's not bad. Anyways, so the encouragement, going back to the encouragement question, like that I will get better. Setting goals is really good. Widow goals. That's the name of my book. It's actually 30 goals. The book is not out yet, but like it starts with get out of bed. We've done some episodes on these goals, you know, just start with something small, like, okay, I need to make sure I get out of bed every day. And that can be hard if you live alone. I talk to a lot of widows who don't have kids at home, and it's hard to have any motivation to want to get out of bed. Now, we had kids, and so you have to get out of bed. But those who don't, it's hard. So you might have to enlist somebody to call you every day or physically come to your house and help you get out of bed.
Play drill sergeant. Yeah.
Yeah. And like make small goals. And then if you're further along and you can do it, I'm going to tell you what I just started doing. So I think I read this book called Atomic Habits the other day, and it's so good. And it is like just all about like, getting into your habits, all this stuff. So I started this thing where I took a calendar list online, and I put in like just four goals for myself every single, I'm very visual oriented. And like, if I have a chart and I get to cross it off, I get all excited. So I just put in four goals that I want to do every day. Bible reading. Joel and I we started with the New Testament. We're doing that whole Bible recap thing. That's awesome podcast. Nice. So we're doing that together. So Bible reading, journal, workout, and track my food. That's a new thing I'm doing. And it just helps me so much. I get to go over to my charts over on the wall. I get to put a little star by it. And then if I get all four things, then I put one of those foil stars, you know, that's really exciting. But it works for me. Like, I love those. I actually need to get some more. I did that when I was working out before my wedding. I had this chart and all this stuff. And so it helps me. Like, even if you have one goal, you put it on your wall, on your calendar, and it says, get out of bed. Give yourself a little star. I'm not kidding. Like, these things help, like the visual of it. For like, sure. And then looking back at your chart, like, look how many days I did this. Look at how many days, you know. So maybe start with one goal. This is my goal. And then you can like look at, okay, I think I'm ready for two goals. Like, I'm gonna read the Bible every day, or whatever your goal is. I'm gonna put that on my chart. Okay, I'm gonna get 30 minutes of exercise, even a walk counts, like something, you know, and just it will help you feel better. So that's like a practical tip I recommend, is doing that. And what would you say to encourage and empower widows?
Okay. Well, for the encouragement part of it, I just want to, you know, more so talking to those at the beginning, but at any point, if you feel like this, I want to encourage you that if you're angry, if you're upset, if you're frustrated, if you are depressed, if you're any of those things, that's okay. And that's normal. And you don't need to like hear all this, you know, positive stuff and just snap out of it. That's not what we're telling you to do. It's very normal. And so I want to encourage you that if that's how you feel, that doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. That's very, very normal. And it can be normal to feel that for any length of time, depending who you are. But we want to encourage you that you want to take steps in order to help yourself, because you don't want to feel this way every day. So that's where the empowerment comes in. So we can tell you that it's okay to laugh. Yes. It's okay to do something for yourself. It's okay to treat yourself. It's okay. to do that. I had to. It's okay to do that. And to empower you that while, okay, you know, because everything in life is negatives or positives. We can look at the same exact situation two different ways, always, like pretty much always. We can look at the same situation two different ways. It doesn't mean that any one of us is going to be perfect at choosing the positive, but you do want to train your mind to see the positives in things. Now, I'm not saying that you're ever going to look at your spouse's death as a positive thing.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But you can see positives in terrible situations. And so I'm not giving an exact example of that. I can, but I'm not going to right now at the moment. But what I am going to give an example of is something you can do that's positive. You can say, you know, like Annette on that last episode, Andy, she I keep saying Annette.
Well, it's because her name said by Andy, Annette, right? But I called her Andy. She said either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So, but like, you know, she got this empowerment that she's like, my kids are grown. My husband's gone. Like, I'm going to become a truck driver. That's what something I've always wanted to do. And she did that. And that's so empowering to remind yourself, to say to yourself, who am I now? Who am I now? Who do I want to be? So I am bummed that Lacey never got to see that I graduated high school, that she never saw me work my butt off and get my real estate license. But at the same time, I'm like so proud of myself for doing that. And even though it didn't pan out, I'm a mechanic now. I mean, I went the total opposite way, but like I earned that and I worked really hard at it. And I just decided that like, I'm just going to do something different.
Yeah.
What works for me now. And you know, it's a little different with me with having small children, but you can decide if you want to get into a new hobby, if you want to start dressing nicer, if you want to get in better physical shape, if you want to do a specific diet or, you know, whatever it might be, if you want to travel and you couldn't do that before because you were locked into a schedule or whatever, that the empowerment comes from you realizing that even though it's obviously terrible that we lost our spouses, obviously, but it's now your life and your life alone. Yes. And you can decide what you want to do with it. And I remember one of the first feelings, and a lot of people relate to this. It was kind of a weird feeling, but like that I didn't have to ask anybody, and not like I needed Lacey's permission, but like we had this rule where if we were going to buy anything over $50, we talked about
that rule too.
And which is a great thing, you know, it was a really great thing, but there was also this feeling of like, oh, whoa, like I can just buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily like a positive thing or whatever, but it was just kind of this, like, I have a different life now. And, or for me, one of those things was reorganizing the kitchen.
Yes.
Lacey had the kitchen a certain way and that's how she liked it. And it didn't make sense to me because my brain is so like, I need things to be organized and to make sense. Like, anyways, like the pots and pans should be close to the stove kind of a thing, you know? It didn't make sense to me, but Lacey had it the way she liked it. And that was fine because it was her kitchen. You know, we had this thing. It was like, she's like, this is my kitchen. That's your garage. You do whatever you want with the garage. I'm going to do whatever I want with the kitchen. I'm like, that's cool. But I did have this feeling of like, I don't like the kitchen like this. So I took everything out of the cabinets. I reorganized everything the way I liked it. And so that's kind of what I mean that I want to empower you. I want to empower you that you can be who you want to be now. And I would encourage you to pick a good and healthy version of yourself.
Yes.
Don't empower yourself to go live like an animal. That's not what I would suggest. But
on that note, this is kind of funny. Rob Linger, we talk about him probably the most of anyone, but he posted the other day, you know, as a widower, there are some advantages. no one to need to talk into certain things. And I'm not really using my living room. I could probably fit a larger pool in there as well. And there's a picture of a pool in his living room. I don't think that's his. I think he's saying he could put a pool in his living room because he doesn't have to talk anybody into it. I thought that was so cool. So
maybe Rob, I will get that 85-inch TV.
Right. The point is, yes, like you don't have to talk about anything. I remember some of those same feelings, and you know, we had like money was kind of a hard issue with Luke and I, so there was a lot of freedom that did come that I was able to not worry about the money stuff and be able to like, oh, I can spend money and it's okay. But at the same end, then I, you know, he was the one who did all the bills and all the finances. So he knew when we had money and didn't, but you know, so I had to learn to know that, like to be more careful and all of that, but there was so much freedom. And then like, for me, the thing that was very empowering was figuring out how to sell my house and how to get a new house, which, you know, was a very long, hard process. Kind of miraculous. So that for me was one of my first empowering things. Like I went from not knowing how to pay a bill to like selling my house and getting a new house and like learning how to do all of these things. And it was such an amazing thing. And then I remember when you were talking about Tina and you fixing things, it reminded me of like when Joel used to come visit, I would have a whole list like, okay, while you're here, can you do this, 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 and this, you know? And I had my brothers and my dad, if I needed something immediate, but it was nice. And then my dad was like, oh, so nice. We don't have to worry about things anymore. When
I was going
to
say, well, for your brother and dad, it's of course they're going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure to some degree to them, it's a chore. And mm-hmm. not in any negative way. But I know from being a man to Joel, he wanted to do that stuff for
yes.
you. And
yes.
So and I feel the same way. I'm like, I mean, yes, of course I'll fix that for you. What else you got? Yeah. You know?
Once when he came to visit, we like put down a whole new front yard because it had died and I was getting letters from the HOA.
That.
Yeah. And he helped me build
like good old HOA.
Yes. And he helped me know how to do that. And you know, he just helps. And now, of course, you know, he's my husband now, so he just does everything, which is great.
Yep.
It's so amazing. But I think you appreciate it more when you go through a season of your life without somebody to help you yes. with all of the things. And so then it's
Absolutely.
So much probably how you feel when Tina's visiting. She's helping with the kids and doing all yes. the stuff. It's just like, oh, it's so nice.
Or asking me, like, how was your day?
Right.
Tell me about your day. And she's such a good listener. Like, I feel bad sometimes because I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, you know, everybody listening can imagine. They're like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know if I can handle asking Mark how his day was. So, but you know, she's just sweet and she'll just sit there and smile and, you know, interact. Oh yeah. Yeah. That must've been cool or whatever, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You've been listening to me for so long. And she's like, no, I love it. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. But getting back to what we're
yeah,
talking about.
So we're way off topic.
It's okay. Empowering and encouraging doesn't have to be these things we're talking about either.
Right.
If you want to be a more positive thinking person, pursue that. Like
yeah.
chase it down. Take, you know, make an index card, whatever you need to do to like remind yourself. Tina and I have been talking about this, like to think more positively, to choose positive thoughts, because when you choose positive thoughts, you will start to believe positive thoughts.
Yes.
When you affirm yourself, you will start to believe that you're capable of things. Want to encourage you that it's okay to laugh. It's okay to live life. Mm-hmm. It is okay whenever you're ready to start dating again. It is yeah. okay whenever you're ready to fall in love again. There's nothing wrong with you watching funny movies. There's nothing wrong with you enjoying going out to eat, you know, getting together with a friend and having a drink and having a conversation, whatever it might be that you guys like to do together, you know, like it's okay to keep living your life. And if somebody doesn't want that for you, I would question whether they're like a real friend or not, you know, because
yeah, for
anybody,
sure.
they shouldn't expect you to stay in grief. Like, why would somebody who loves you and cares about you want you to stay miserable? So go out there, like, find your happiness and mm-hmm. go get it. Like, go get it
yes.
and pray to God, look to God. So obviously I'm not, you know, suggesting doing anything. What do you say? Immoral, unethical, or illegal.
Yeah.
You know,
remember, I went through that phase.
I'm like, if you want to rob a bank, go rob a bank.
No,
that's
not
what I'm saying.
Going through that phase and saying, I'm saying yes to everything as long as it's not unethical, immoral, or dangerous, or something like that. And that's when I was like jumping
yeah.
off the cliffs. I mean, that was borderline yeah. dangerous, but that was kind of where I was that summer. Like, that's what I'm saying yes to everything. But I wanted to go back to something that you said about like believing what you're saying. So you probably know this. I think we've talked about neural pathways in your brain. Okay. So I learned this when I did network marketing and I was learning all about, you know, self-help and all this stuff. But this is true. I just explained it to my son the other day. So when you have a thought, it's like it's a little gravel road in your head. And if you believe that thought again, you keep saying it to yourself, it becomes like a main road and then it becomes a highway, or as we say, freeway. And it becomes
yes,
like a freeway.
Freeway.
And so it's like really like imprinted in your brain. Well, the cool thing about our brain is we can actually change it. So you can stop thinking. It's like you can do it in reverse. Like, okay, so then it becomes the main road, then becomes the gravel road because you're not thinking it anymore. So whatever you think will become stronger. So if you believe like I am blessed. Let's just say I am blessed. God has blessed me. And you start like saying that over and over, it will become a freeway in your mind and you will believe it more. I was trying to
yes.
talk to Peyton about positive thinking and like what you say to yourself and all of it. And I've noticed that even in my like recent you know, health journey with all this crazy stuff, if I'm thinking negative, it's going to feel negative. And actually, there's a snowball that my counselor taught me about. Ants, automatic negative thoughts. I know I've talked about this. You have one, your brain will go to try to find evidence. Oh yeah, there's another one. And then it becomes this big snowball of negative thoughts. When you've got to stop, you have to have an anteater and say, nope, I'm not going to go there, and have something positive you say, you know, and that's super, super helpful as you're going down this journey. Like, think of something like when Luke was sick, let's see if I can remember it. I had this thing that I would say every day. Let's see if I can remember when I woke up. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will press on. I will be strong. I know that God is for me, and I know that he will make beauty out of all of these ashes, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Well, I remembered it.
Nice.
And I used to say that every day. And look, he has made beauty out of those ashes. Like,
yes. And a lot of that can be attributed to your belief that it was going to happen. The mind is so, so powerful. And that's why I say that, if you tell yourself every day, I can do this, you know, well, it's like they say, there's two people on the same task. One of them says, I can't do it. The other one says, I can do it. They're both right. And it's because of your mindset.
It's true.
And it's kind of like, I think I've shared this story on here before, and I don't remember where it was. I want to say it was on Oprah, but there were these two twins or brothers or something, and they were separated at birth. And they went on to their own adoptive families. And, they were both in like orphanages or whatever until the age of 18, something like that. I always mess up this story, but the point of it remains the same. That they both went their own ways when they turned 18. One of them went on to become super successful, owning his own company, married, kids, super happy life. The other one was like a homeless, drug addict, alcoholic.
Wow.
And they were both on the show. And we're basically asked the same question. How did you get here? And remarkably, and this is one of those things that a lot of people have talked about because it was just amazing. They both had the same answer. Look at my upbringing. What did you expect?
Wow.
Wow. Like, every time I think about that story, it's so powerful, because the one guy was like, look at my upbringing. What did you expect to happen? Of course I'm going to become super successful. I was raised with nothing. Like, what am I going to just, you know, lose the rest of my life and I'm just going to be homeless or whatever? And the other guy was like looking at his life going, this is all I can make of myself because of my upbringing. We all have upbringings, and a lot of us have childhoods that were difficult and that impact you as an adult. Some stories, some things you carry around with you, like, for me, for example, I'm not going to get into it, but there's a lot of times where I still feel like that lost little boy that, you know, I didn't know where my direction was in life. And I'll just leave it at that. And I still feel like that sometimes as a 44 year old man. I still feel things from when I was like 8 years old, like in my heart, I can still connect to those emotions. So, but I choose positive thinking. I choose to look back at the things from my childhood as they developed me into the man that I am, the man that Lacey fell in love with, that allowed me to be such a, and I'm saying this in the most really like humble way I can, but I was proud of the husband I was. I was a really good husband to her. And I do believe that it was because of my upbringing that allowed me to care so much about being a really good husband to her, because I appreciated her so much. And I believe it's that same character that has allowed me, because of the mindset that I choose to look at my upbringing as what makes me want to be who I am today. I want to care about people. I want to recognize how valuable it is to have somebody care about you.
Yeah.
And so anyways, it's all mindset. There's so much to do with this life that is your mindset and how you view things. So I would say, just to wrap all this up, to point yourself on a track of finding the positive in the most menial, like irrelevant circumstances. And I'll give you one example of that. You can say, you can have the same exact thing happen to you. I got a flat tire today. You can sit there and complain about how horrible it was that you got a flat tire. I was stuck on the side of the road. I was late to my appointment. I was this, I was that. Or you can look at the other side of it, that either, let's say you're like, you know what? Like, it was really cool. Like, I figured out how to change a flat tire right there on the side of the road. I watched a YouTube video and I did it myself. I changed a flat tire. Now, for me as a mechanic, I better be able to change a tire. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying in general to you in the audience who might be thinking this sort of thing, that you can look at that same situation. Or if somebody pulled over to help, I met like the nicest guy. He just randomly pulled over to help me. And we had a nice conversation while he was changing my tire. He wouldn't take any money for doing it. And it just like reaffirmed that there's still good people out there in the world. And yes, I was late to my appointment, but they understood and they were really nice to me about it or whatever. And so anyways, those, that same situation that happened to you, you can have two different outlooks on it. And the more you point yourself to the positive mindset, the more you will start to believe those things, the more you will start to see the world through that light. Boom.
So true.
Mic drop. That's good. Let me pick up my mic so I can drop it.
There you go. And I wanted to mention a couple other things that can empower and encourage you. Probably the biggest things you can do is turn to Jesus, like in a big way, like worship music playing all the time. That was something that really helped me, just having it play throughout the house. It was actually when I was at a grief retreat, one of the leaders there told me, like, play worship music nonstop. And I really started doing that, and that was helpful. And then just praying, like Jesus is your best friend, talking to him all the time, whether you're sad, you're mad, you're angry, whatever, just having conversations all the time with him. Like, he's your best friend and he really will meet you there. I mean, so many nights in the middle of the night praying and crying and worship music and all of the things and being drawn closer than I ever have before. That season, like I would say that first year, especially, probably the closest I've ever been to God. Just he really, and it's, I can't remember how many times the word widow, we need to learn this, is mentioned in the Bible, but it's a lot. And he really has a heart for widows, which means widowers as well. And he really meets us in that broken place and continuing to pray, like, God, heal me, come into these cracks of my heart and heal me and fill me and don't let me be filled with anything else, you know, and not turning, that's a whole other episode, not turning to all the wrong things, because they will give you temporary satisfaction, very temporary. And then you're going to be back to where you were or worse. Like if you do things that have bad consequences.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah. And so that nothing, I mean, and this isn't just with grief, this is life. I'm trying to teach my oldest this, who's going through some things, like nothing is going to satisfy you except for God, like nothing. And there are consequences that happen because of things that you do. Even if you're sorry, there's still going to be consequences. That's the whole thing. It's more like I'm talking to him. There's still going to be consequences. And, you know, but just really spending that time in prayer, and it becomes where it's not like, you know, sometimes I feel like in my relationship with God, it's been like, I feel like I have to check this off the box, blah, 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 blah. It's on my chart. I need to check it off, blah, blah, blah. But like, it becomes like a relationship where like, I can't wait to talk to God about this. I can't wait, you know, and you're literally talking to him throughout the day. I think that's where it goes from like religion to relationship. When you now have this conversation with God, with Jesus, like throughout the whole day, all the time, you know?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I used to be a lot better at that. And it's sad, but I'm just going to admit, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in that place still. And it's sad. And I guess I'm kind of confessing this to God right now as we speak, but I was a lot closer to him when I quote unquote needed him more.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm just being honest, but you know, that's something I'm trying to do for the new year. Tina and I just like recommitted to like reading our Bibles all the time and praying together. And so actually on that note, I'm going to put on my glasses because the print in this book is very small. I want to read it quick.
Wait. You need glasses now for a
I do. I'm 44.
They look nice. Oh, you look very smart. No, very don't. Smart.
Oh my gosh. So E equals MC
squared. You look like a professor.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, the reason I gathered you here today for my class. No. So my mother-in-law sent me this Seeking God Daily. It's called Quest by David Jeremiah. Oh, and it's just a neat little book, and it has these little tiny passages for each day. And so I just wanted to read one on here, mostly for me. I'm being selfish because I need to catch up.
here to we go. Here's date. Your time.
So, yes. So anyways, a different way of seeing. I felt like this is applicable. A different way of seeing. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Hiking in the deep wilderness can be foreboding. In the morning, you may find yourself in a deep ravine between the sides of two mountains, barely able to glimpse the sky above. In an afternoon, you may be in a rugged old growth forest, completely surrounded by trees with no view of the horizon. In either case, you are headed toward a destination you cannot see. Aided by a map and a compass, and now GPS, you trudge on with certain expectation of your direction. That is what the Christian life can be like at times, walking toward a destination we cannot see, but one which we have every confidence of finding. The destination may be in this life, a decision about vocation or our children, or it may be eternal. Either way, we have a map and heaven and a heavenly companion upon which we depend. We don't know specifically what next week or eternity will look like. We are moving toward destinations we cannot see, but that is not a problem since we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith means seeing life differently, trusting the God we cannot see for that which he has yet to reveal. Boom.
It's good.
Go David Jeremiah.
Yeah, it's a great pastor.
I'm not sponsored by this book, but I would like to be. David Jeremiah, if you're listening, I'd like a dollar, please, for referring your book to people. No, it's been great so far.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Yeah.
It's cool. Stuff. It's a great place to start. So the reason why I wanted to do that is I wanted to show you guys, you get a little devotional book like that. You read something small like that every morning. And it's such a great place to start because for me, you know, I tell myself, I'll just be real. I tell myself the lie that I don't have the time to read a chapter a day or whatever, because I'm so busy with this or that. I'm working 10 hours a day. I got kids, blah, blah, blah. That's not true. I could find the time. I don't. Right. And I'm just being honest about that because I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. And it's something that I want to get better at. So if you're in that situation too, you're like, I want to draw closer to God. I do still remember to pray a lot. But I used to be better at it. Remember, I talked about it in the beginning of this podcast. I say, I don't care. Everywhere I'm driving, I'm like, Jesus, will you sit shotgun?
Yep,
will you sit here? And I would just have conversations with him the whole way to wherever I was going. I would just sit there and talk to him like he's my homie. And we would have deep conversations and it was awesome. I don't do that as much anymore, but I do still pray. But again, not as much as I used to. And so that's something that I'm, you know, wanting to do more of. And so if you're in that same situation, get yourself a little book like this. It is so easy. And the reason I did that is you see how quick that you can start the day with God's word. You can do that. You can read that while you're brushing your teeth. And then all of a sudden you're filling your head with these awesome gifts of like reminding yourself that my identity wasn't in my late spouse, even though it feels like it. My identity is and always has been in Christ. And that where they are, we also want to be. And so anyways.
That's great. And two other ways you can do that. The Bible app is a really great resource where there's the verse of the day and then a video that goes with it. And that is something like really simple. They started the video.
I don't know about the video.
Yeah, that's a newer thing. So you read it and then like a 2-minute video. So that's an easy way to do it. I also listen to the Bible, you know, while I'm doing things. And then another great devotional I'm reading through with Haley is Jesus Calling.
I have that.
Yeah, I love that one because it's like Jesus speaking, talking about these things. And it's a really simple one that has a lot of great, great things to say. So I would highly recommend, you know, getting some, you know, like sometimes people are like, I don't hear from God. And it's like, are you reading the Bible? Like that's, yes, he does speak to us in different ways, but that is the main way.
Yes, he speaks to us. That's and a so, great point.
Yeah. So just remembering to like, I need to do my part and open the Bible and ask God what he wants to show me today. And, you know, and it's crazy. I think I shared this a few weeks ago, just like sometimes he'll show me the same verse over and over in different, from different people. Like it was the, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And look at the birds of the air. All those verses like came to me like in 3 or 4 ways in like 2 days. And I was like, okay, God's telling me not to worry, you know?
Yes.
He will speak to us, you know, through his word. And so really taking the time to do that, whatever way works for you. So anyways, I think anything else you want to say about encouraging?
Just that, just to piggyback on that, that I also have experienced that many times where I've been in prayer, I've been asking God things and I'm not hearing anything and da, da, da. And then like magic, I open up my Bible and there he is speaking to me about that exact thing. I've given examples of that on here. My favorite verse in the world now is Jesus looked at them intently and said, "You're right. With man, this is impossible, but with God, anything's possible." That to me was a specific answer to a specific prayer that I just kept saying over and over and over and over and over when Lacey was sick, that this is impossible. This is impossible. Why are you asking this of me? I can't do this. It's impossible. Blah, blah, blah. Through that verse of the day, he answered me so specifically, and it was like, okay. And so he will talk to us through his word, and we all, you know, and if you don't have this problem, that, you know, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. I get up and read three chapters a day. Oh, blah, blah. That's awesome. And keep doing it. We're all trying to get where you're at. So I would love to just be a man who really practices, you know, discipline and that puts God absolute front and center of my life. And sometimes it's hard to do that when we just get consumed with daily life. It's hard for me to remember. I mean, anytime somebody asked me or there was an opportunity to talk about my faith, I absolutely will. I won't shy away from that. But when I'm wrenching on a car and I'm struggling trying to get this, you know, axle out of the car, whatever it is, then it's like, oh man. And I'm not thinking about God in that moment because I want to have the mindset that I'm like, I'm doing this for you, God. Right. And when I do that, when I have that mindset at work, no matter how hard my job is, I can do it with a smile on my face. And sometimes working on cars is hard, you know, like sometimes you're fighting with things that just don't want to come out and you're beating on them with a hammer, whatever. And it's very, very easy in those moments to start yelling at the car. But when I remind myself that I'm doing this for God, I'm working for God, I'm working to be an example for the kingdom, all of a sudden I can do that same job with a smile on my face and, you know, maybe replace a few words with other words here or there, you know.
You know, something that Joel shared with me. So, you know, he, in addition to being a pilot, he's an airplane mechanic. And he's like, how he brings God into that. Like he said, sometimes it's like, we just can't find the problem or whatever. And I asked God and he shows me, he highlights it to me. And then God showed me, like that's happened several times where he's like, God has showed him where the problem is. I'm like, that is so cool.
I'm going to do that.
Yes, do it. Ask him to show you.
He's like, it's the yellow wire on the third circuit.
I mean, I don't know how he shows him. I don't know.
I know. I'm just gives him
an idea comes or whatever, but he's told me that several times that God has showed him like what the next step is.
I believe that with all my heart. Cause when you're on fire for God, you really feel a huge difference in the way God speaks to you. And I know that from experience. Like I was so close to God when Lacey was going through cancer, closer than I've ever been in my life by far. And I saw miracles. I saw the most amazing things of God communicating with me directly. And it was like, I felt like we were on the same team and he was like walking me through it. And gosh, it was so powerful because there were, I was just talking about this the other day with Tina, that like sometimes when God speaks to you, you know, those weren't your words. That was God. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Like, for example, when I was pleading with God, when I found out, when I knew for sure Lacey was going to die. And she had at that point about 2 weeks left. And I was on my knees pleading with him in tears, like, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Like, what do I do? Like, just tell me what to do. I will do anything. I'm going to save this woman. Tell me what to do. And I'm waiting for an answer because that's the way we were communicating at that time. Like, I would just feel things pressed upon my heart. And so you can believe me when I say that these weren't my words. I felt it so pressed upon my heart. Mark, I don't need you. I don't need doctors. I don't need medicine. I don't need you. If I want to heal her, I will snap my fingers and her cancer will be gone. I don't need you. Let it go. And while that's really like dark to a lot of people, in that moment for me, that gave me this peace because as her husband, as the kid's father, it was my duty, my responsibility, my job to protect Lacey. And I was fighting for her with all of my heart. And in that moment, even though it sounded kind of harsh, that gave me the ability to let go of the responsibility of saving her life because it was totally out of my hands. And that's why I was so desperate at that point because it was out of my hands. And I knew that I couldn't really do anything to save her. Even though I was looking up, you know, having a, I had found a nurse, I will never say her name, but I had found a nurse who told me that she would illegally insert an IV into Lacey. Mm-hmm. And I was going to order all these kits off Amazon to filter her medication, to make my own IV, to deliver her medication to her through IV, because I had nobody else to do it. And it had to be done in a very precise way or I could have killed mm-hmm. her. But mm-hmm. I was researching and researching and researching how to do this. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me. And I decided that I didn't need to do that, that it was in God's hands.
Yeah.
And for me at that moment, it was so peaceful. So anyways, the point of all that is to say, like, the closer you are with God, the closer he will be with you. And I am right now working on getting back to that place because I haven't been there. I've been consumed with life and, you know, making excuses basically for why I can't be closer to God. So anybody might relate. Some of you might look at me differently, but no. That's okay. That's the truth.
No, I think it is much easier. I can totally relate to what you're saying. Like when you're in that desperate place, you are closer to God because he's like all you have. And then It's like our humanness, we start forgetting that as life gets better, you know? And so it's important to be reminded. I mean, this is me too saying I'm not where I was. Like after Luke died, I was much closer with God in the very beginning, and to get back to that place, because he deserves that from us, to be close with him, not just in the bad times, you know. That's kind of like your kids only needing you in the bad times. Like you want them to want to be with you in the good times too, and to have fun with you and celebrate with you and all of that stuff. And so I think it's a good reminder for all of us.
Awesome.
So
thanks.
That's good. Thanks for being open and honest. I mean, that's what this podcast is about. Like, we are not perfect.
And humble.
Unhumble. Like, obviously, we're not perfect. Humble. Don't be so humble. But, like, we're just sharing, like, what's going on with us and being real, keeping it real. So, would you like to pray?
I would. Okay. Lord, thank you so much. Oh, what? Did I miss something?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said, oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Anyways. Starting over. Sorry. Lord, thank you so much for this ministry that you've given us and entrusted us with. And we pray that it is continuing to help people and that this message was somehow encouraging to somebody and that they feel empowered and encouraged to be a new version of themselves, one that is closer with you and just on fire for you. And that anybody that reaches out to you, Lord, that you would come to them quickly with response and answers and a new heart for them to look at things differently, and that you would speak to them in unique ways that they need to hear. And I pray that we would all be reminded of how valuable it is that we can speak to the God of the universe through Jesus Christ anytime we want. And that is just such a tremendous gift. We thank you, Lord, for that amazing gift, and pray that we would recognize it and be grateful for it and have hearts of gratitude towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know what I'm going to say? Maybe.
Do it.
If they know. Liked this podcast, well, if you guys know, why don't you do it? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I'm just going to.
They're doing it right now.
Break it up a little bit. If you could take 5 seconds of your life, maybe a minute, and go to, I'm going to give you more specific directions. If you're listening on Apple, which most of you are, could you just go and make sure you're subscribed? That's awesome. You're going to never miss an episode. But go to where it says like review or rate this podcast, and you just click on 5 stars. And then if you have another minute, if you could just write something that you've learned from this podcast or what it's meant to you, that would help so much. Like, we are a society that relies on reviews. I mean, I never buy anything on Amazon until I read the reviews. And I'm always reading through all of them, and now it has this thing like
4.3. nah,
yeah. But this is really cool. It has this AI generated thing at the top of the Amazon reviews now. Like, it takes all the information and tells you like what most people are saying. Love it. Anyways, that's totally a side note. If you could take a minute, because people tell us all the time, but not a lot of those people, some of them have, but not a lot of them have put that on the, you know, reviews on Apple. That would be awesome. I think there's a place on Spotify too. Just look wherever you listen. If you could do that, it would mean so much to us. Also, as you guys know, we are a part of Widow Goals, which is the nonprofit for widows. We help with grief recovery scholarships, events. Like we have a local one coming up on Monday where we get together. And the biggest part of our ministry really is the podcasts. And we're able to do that because of Widow Goal. So if you want to give back, there's a link for a tax-free donation. So I think that's everything. Oh, if you want to, oh, I didn't say all the other stuff. If you want to be a guest. I did.
You forgot about the Bing 5-star.
Bing 5-stars. I know I mixed it up a little bit. If you want to be a podcast, if you want to be a guest on our podcast, which I know there's still some of you, I saw the other day, there's a couple more we need to contact. We will get to you. You can fill out the form below. And if you want to be part of a really great community, we have over 2,000 people on Facebook. Just look for Widow Too Soon or a link in the description. And that's all the stuff, I think, you know. All the places.
Instagram, all the places.
Blah, blah, blah. Look in the show notes. They're the same every week. You can click on the links and find us. And we really appreciate you. Thanks for being such a great community. And it's just been great to see each other, see everyone support each other on Facebook as people are telling their stories and connecting with each other. And we'd love to have you connect with people there. So I think that's all for this week. So
that's all, folks. Yes.
Let me try that. How do you even do that? Do it again.
Many years of practice. That's all, folks.
Okay, we'll end on your that's all, folks. Okay, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. God bless.